You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am thrilled to introduce you to Karen Zukala, who is a marketing industry veteran with 20 plus years of global business leadership experience, having lived and held executive positions across Europe, the US, and of course, Canada. During her career, she has built a strong reputation in brand and digital marketing, strategic business planning, and e-commerce. Her passion for technology and innovation has fueled market disruption for some of the world's most iconic brands, including Adidas, Nike, Diesel, and Twitter. Karen, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Darian. That's quite the intro.
So Karen, first thing I want to talk about, what are some YouTube channels that you subscribe to and you just love right now?
Well, this is a hard one. There's many that I love to follow across YouTube. I'm a huge renovation fanatic. I love anything around tiny houses, but I love Three Birds Renovations. Those two women, a dynamic duo, just amaze me at what they can do in the renovation space. I'm a little bit of a junkie in terms of like TED. There's TED Ed, which I think is like 17.1 million followers or something. I was listening to one the other day on like solar panels. Why don't they have solar panels in the desert? I was like, wow, I never thought about that before. But that one for sure, I'm a big fan of. You know, the Fitness Blender. I think there's a lot of folks that love Fitness Blender. And obviously during the good old pandemic that we've been living through, just having access to more fitness routines at home always goes a long way for me.
Amazing. I've got three main ones. So Mark Rober, my family. So I've got four children. I've got like a 15-year-old all the way down to a 3-year-old. But any new Mark Rober videos, our family loves them. He got pretty serious in his last video though. So it was a little bit more like I'd explain to my middle kids about what that meant when, you know, he teamed up with a couple other YouTubers actually to deal with people doing bad stuff on the internet to innocent people. And then Mr. Beast, everyone knows Mr., but I actually fell in love with Mr. Beast in this last couple years where he would just lavishly love on people and surprise and delight in a way that I think brands and companies can learn from. And he just does it in such a humble, quiet way, but the videos are beautiful and incredible. Like I can say so many things about it. And then I found a great fitness person and Pamela Reif is a great fit. I actually like her videos. I wish there was a version where she was wearing like parkas or like a lot more clothes because sometimes I watch it, I'm like, it's not for that purpose. It's like, they're just really well done because it's like good workouts, but it's also the sound she's done with the beeps and the timers. Those are some of my favorite YouTube videos that I... And again, we added YouTube, thankfully, to our Apple TV. And so, I find I will watch YouTube as much as I will watch the others, right? Yes. The many others out there. So I recently upgraded to premium, so we didn't have to sit through the commercials.
There you go. And if you have a three-year-old, you're probably watching some good, like Peppa the Pig.
Blippi. Blippi, actually. So I don't know, the story of Blippi is fascinating in that Blippi was a YouTuber who then switched his persona to be a child, like he actually did prank videos. And then he started doing these children's videos solely on YouTube and just blew up. And my kid fell in love with Blippi. And then he got a show on Amazon Prime. But actually, we've never watched any of his Prime shows. We continued it because YouTube's just so much easier, we find.
Yeah. And we use it a lot too.
Yeah.
For my little one.
Yeah. Okay. And then my three-year-old found this one called Kids to Kids. And it's just people playing with monster trucks and trucks. And he loves it.
I need to check that one out.
Yeah. It's just monster trucks. And they built tracks with it. And so he then now wants to do those monster truck tracks in our house. And so he's been quite inspired. So sometimes he'll even put it on while he does his own tracks. And it's amazing. Yeah. So it's kind of like the YouTube creators or the YouTube like renovators that you watch as an adult. It's like the kid is watching, oh, how do I make cooler Hot Wheel tracks?
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Like I need to check that one out. My little guy has gotten into trucks and tractors. His most recent word is tractor.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome.
That is one I'm going to add to my list. Thanks for the reco.
No, for sure. So when we use the term, okay, you know, we all know TV, we all need to, but tell me about what does the term connected TV mean? And what does that mean for Canadians now?
Yeah, it's, connected TV is getting so much buzz right now. And it's a really exciting time. I feel really lucky to be part of it. And Obviously, YouTube is a clear leader, I would have to say, in this space. I think it's fair to say that Canadians' viewing habits have really changed significantly over the past few years. Like, I look back to when I cut the cord. I cut the cord in 2013. Mm-hmm. I like to think I was a little bit of an early adopter in this space. Yeah. But we're streaming more content on our TV screens than ever before. And it's connected TV has really changed the way that we define TV. And there's a little bit of maybe misconception of what is connected TV. And I think the very simple definition of it is that it's defined as any TV screen that's connected to the internet that right. people can use to access the world of streaming, including gaming consoles, Chromecasts, or other digital connected devices, like even the one you mentioned at the start. Yeah. It's like the gateway, I would have to say, into the world of streaming, which what I love about it the most is that it gives consumers choice and control when they've kind of grown accustomed to that on their tablets and phones, but now it's giving them the same choice and control on their TV screens. It's like what they want, when they want it. And I love that. It's kind of like, you know, you give someone the keys to the car to go and watch things when they want and when it's most relevant to them. And I think when you look back to the phone, even for those of us that were around with the rotary phone and how the evolution turned into like the giant cordless phone, like in Back to the Future, or the flip phone, and like today's modern smartphone, I think like TV is now going through the same evolution of what the phone has already gone through. And I think that's like pretty neat. It's about time, frankly, that I think television and streaming are finally catching up to this. And I think the cool part for me is that YouTube is really at the forefront of this whole revolution that's taking place, combining like this massive reach and the power of relevance, I think. And it's just allowing, we're finally tapping into a consumer behavior in the world of TV that's been happening for a long time. And it's an exciting time to be part of it.
No, 100%. And I actually, ironically, the pandemic for me mostly meant I finally figured out why the subscription button is so important. Because I realized there was these shows that we just fell in love with. Some Good News was a weekly tradition of my family during that 2-year period. And it was only available on YouTube. And we subscribed to it. And when the subscription would bing, like on our TV, when we knew a new video was up. Whereas, again, I'm not saying anything bad against, but like you look at, say, another streaming service, they will just dump all these episodes on the thing. And so it's not as exciting. Whereas for our family, like we'll watch like the newest Mark Rober that came out and then we can talk about it and then be like, any other Mark Rober fans, you can be like, oh, we can discuss this. Whereas the other shows, everyone's watching in such different timing. Whereas like, you know, or you can be like, oh, when's the next Mr. Beast coming out, right? And what's he going to do? And what's going to happen? And you can like anticipate these videos.
Yep. 100%. I think it's, you know, it's I think as a marketer, like what does connected TV mean for us as marketers? It's really interesting because I think back to when I was client side and how we would traditionally, like I've been in the industry for more than 20 years now. So I've been part of this wave and this transition of, you know, investing in a lot of TV and broadcast to like the, you know, injection of like digital and now social and now connected TV. And it's, I think as a marketer, I've always tried to put a real strong focus. We all want to reach audiences and we know we need to reach them when they're watching, which for today's consumers is on connected TV and streaming platforms. And I think, you know, it's really almost like connected TV is the future of TV advertising for us as marketers. It offers the best of both worlds. The reach brands could traditionally get with linear, but then you pair it with the capabilities of digital. And I think that just amplifies and gives you so much more opportunities to reach the right consumer at the right moment that we haven't always been able to do that effectively in the past.
And for marketers, like the recent Masterclass SEO thread that came out on Twitter where the person was describing how Masterclass just blew up and they describe it through SEO, but the SEO, what they're describing goes on YouTube. And so people searching for how-tos on YouTube, which I think is still the number one search, they would have a taster, a Costco sample there. And then they would lead them to Masterclass or they would run ads for people that were searching certain terms. And thanks to YouTube's ad platform, you can find those searchers who have that buyer's intent, that, you know, that piqued interest.
Yeah. I guess it's where viewers come to watch what they're most passionate about. You mentioned so many great things at the beginning of our chat, and the same goes for me and every single one of us, but all of our passion points are different, right? And I think what I love too, it's almost like YouTube's become like, it's where Canadians can build their personal prime time. I don't have the time, as do many of us, to go and watch a show maybe at a regular scheduled time, like 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, whether it's bedtime, I have to prioritize different things. But now for me, the beauty of connected TV is that it is my personal prime time. And I think, you know, we're starting to see big results of that. There's what, 16 million Canadians on connected TV screens every month, which is just insane, really, when you think about it. It makes YouTube the number one ad-supported connected TV platform all in Canada. And we kind of joke, like, if you're not buying YouTube on connected TV, you're not buying connected TV.
Well, okay, here's what I don't understand. Again, when this episode comes out, maybe it's going to have change, but I don't think so. But like, I watch, you know, the red one. We can name them or not. Like, I watch the green, you know, I watch them all. Like, we subscribe to them all. But none of them have ads. Zero have advertising. They might have some like in-show advertising, like Riverdale or Marvelous Miss Maisel might be drinking a certain drink, but I haven't noticed that. But none of them have pre-roll, mid-roll, end-roll ads at this moment of time. YouTube mm-hmm. is the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know who has had ads? But okay, so what's it called? Like Global or CTV, you can get the app. But they are the worst ads in the world to the point where I've stopped watching them because they, and I've talked to someone from there because they'll run the same ad 3 or 4 times every 10 minutes to the point where we were trying to watch Amazing Race Canada as a family. And mm-hmm. it was like, oh, it's free on the app. Great. But they ran the same ad for BCIT and then Go RVing. And it got to the point where I was like, I was really mad at BCIT and Go RV. It did the opposite effect. I looked poorly on those companies. And then I ended up just buying the season. Because I was like, I don't want to sit through this. Whereas at least with YouTube, it's like, skip it if you want to. Or the ad's actually like, oh, wow, we were just thinking about getting some new couches. That's a really good article ad. Oh, and then my wife and I look at each other and be like, oh, that's great. That's a beautiful couch. And we'll plant it in our memory. And then we end up buying our couch from Article, funny enough. So
wow, that's a great story. I love that.
but there's no other options except for, I don't know what they would be called, the people that have been around a while, the old traditional TV networks, but have done, I feel, a very poor service of connected TV ads and created a bad taste in people's mouths.
Yeah, I can't speak to, I guess, the others that are out there, but I think that, you know, what we've been able to do at YouTube is pretty sophisticated, obviously, and the targeting, like you think about affinity audiences. And I think, again, putting my old client hat on of being able to make sure that I'm reaching the right consumer at the right time. I think the affinity audiences that Connected TV offers is second to none. Being able to, it's unmatched to broadcast, truthfully, and it really ensures like an efficient campaign delivery. And managing against over frequency, to your point.
Yes.
And that's something really that continues to plague, you know, broadcast TV to this day. So I think using affinity audiences, whether it be like for cooking enthusiasts or do-it-yourselfers or whatever the case may be, that's the beauty, I think, of connected TV and being able to have access to that data and making sure that you're really sharing your brand message with the folks that matters the most to you.
Yeah. One of my favorite ads still, and it's funny, and we're talking about now, so good for them, A&W, kudos, you're getting more airtime now. A&W did, they have this classic, I don't know if he's still the spokesperson, it was this, you know, older gentleman, and it was a pre-roll ad. And he says, hey, here's a bunch of puppies. And he was just, and he goes, why don't you look at some puppies before you watch your video? And let me tell you about our new sandwich. We have a new teen burger, that's it. Go watch your video or stay and watch some puppies. So at that point, the skip ad thing popped up. But yet I stayed to watch puppies because it was these beautiful puppies playing with each other. But it was like this incredible memory. It was almost like that WestJet Christmas video experience where it was like, he knew I was there to watch YouTube videos. I was there to have a good experience. He gave me some puppies to look at. And then he told me about his new sandwich, the new whatever burger at A&W at the time.
That's awesome. You know, it's so interesting. Like there's so many great brands. And I guess I'm very lucky in my position because I get to work across so many different industries and clients. And when I think to some of the brands that are really just doing an amazing job on YouTube right now. Like there's one, and maybe you've seen it. It sounds like you're a huge fan, Darian, which I think is awesome. Nissan, a little while ago, they were trying to launch like the new Nissan Rogue during a global pandemic.
Yes.
And so, like, as you can imagine, launching a new car is pretty tough. And I think, if memory serves, like 30% of the volume of Canada is through Nissan Rogue. And so you have to be successful on the Rogue business in order to be a success with Nissan. And they built a whole YouTube first campaign. And I think the interesting part about the Rogue is it really appeals to such a wide variety of Canadians for so many different vehicle purposes. So what was really interesting was they filmed 30 different assets to speak directly to their different core target groups. Yep. And then they did like video ad sequencing where you would tease, amplify it kind of like in an echo strategy. And it was like a whole new side of Rogue each time you viewed. And I was not at Google at the time when this came out, but I remember seeing it from a pure consumer perspective and how the creative was changing. I was like, wow, this is really speaking to me and my viewing habits and what I'm most interested in. And they saw like 12% sales growth. I think it was like 87% lift in Google search queries. They really rewrote the playbook, I think, on how to launch vehicles in Canada, which I love. Like, I applaud marketers that are willing to try something new and partner with a brand like us to be like, hey, here's my business problem. How do I get after, you know, selling, in this case, a new Nissan Rogue during a global pandemic? What can I do differently to kind of shake up the industry?
Yeah. And I, speaking of RVing, like, I love that concept of RVing and going RVing and being outdoors. Like, if they had gone to their creative agency and said, hey, for the same budget we have, can you make us 30 micro videos instead of one epic video? And you're going to pay the same price.
Yeah.
And maybe throw a couple vertical videos in there too for YouTube Shorts. Mm-hmm. It would have been so much better. I would have actually looked fondly upon the RVing experience. Instead, it was like, we're going to hit you over the head with the same video and we're going to use, you called it broadcast, and in a very unsophisticated manner. Whereas, man, if I'm watching maybe, the Pamela Reif video, right? And it's like, hey, the pre-roll could have been an outside workout video. Like, hey, you know, you could RV to this campsite way off grid and work out there. Which would have been hilarious, right? And then when I watch a how to build a porch around a hot tub video, they could have been like, you know, hot tub, you could be hot spring video, right? Because you're watching a video or something, or get away from your house. Stop renovating your house and get outside. Like, that would have been so fun, because nowadays you can.
Exactly. And now you can. I think, you know, 20 years ago, that was never the case, to your point. Yeah. You had these huge, and I've produced quite a few of these myself.
Yeah. Cowbell videos. It's like, more cowbell. Bang, bang.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, you know, the I hate to say it, it's such a cliche in marketing, but it's really the truth of this whole concept of like push versus pull marketing. Yeah. Like, I think the more that we can do, and I think that's, you know, just one of the big, like, it continues to be a trend. I would say I've been talking about personalization for several years in my career, but I think now with the way that we're headed with personalization across like every single touch point, I think we could only be personalized maybe with like emails. And even then we some brands have struggled on that. But I think like now that we get in the whole path to purchase and short and long term, the whole personalization along every step of that consumer journey, now with where we're going with data and understanding of the data and what our consumers' needs truly are, that level of personalization, I think, will only continue to grow tenfold of what it is today.
Yeah. Or if another one, Canadian is Google searching like Mexico on YouTube, you know, Mexico resort, you know, whatever, Hawaii, be like, stay local, get an RV. We're just giving away ideas right now. These are free.
Yeah.
So
if you want job security, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. If you want job security, I think that always folks that are doing data analysis or analytics have always been obviously play a huge important role in companies today, but even more so in the future. I think as we continue, like, digital is not going away. The amount of effort that we're going to be putting into personalization and understanding consumer behaviors, I think those folks that are really strong in data, analyzing the data, extracting insights, they've got a job for life as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And maybe I want to touch on this a bit, like brands that are doing YouTube well. We mentioned Nissan when it came to the advertising side. Are any brands dabbling in the content creation side or the organic side of YouTube? Or are you mostly saying they're focusing on the pay-to-play side of it.
I see. There's a lot more creativity. I think that's the beauty of what the pandemic has done for all brands. How do you think a little bit differently about how you're doing things? And one that pops to mind is around like Bank of Montreal, for example. You think about consumer spending during the pandemic. You know, I think they were seeing credit cards saw about a 30% drop in search in over 10 months. So they decided they were going to launch the Eclipse Visa Infinite card, of which I remember seeing a lot of marketing materials around the launch of this. And it was meant to be like a card for modern day millennials. And they wanted to really shake things up of how they've done things before. And they brought in creator Priyanka, who's the winner of Canada's Drag Race. And they partnered with YouTube and they said, okay, YouTube, how can we do things differently? And Priyanka is like an amazing individual who does a lot of their own creative already. And we partnered with YouTube Director Mix, which allows you to create like hundreds and hundreds of versions of different creative. And I think they produce close to 200 versions of creative targeted towards many unique audiences. Yeah. And the results were really astounding. I think they drove like 60% increase in product searches, 130% increased visits to the unique credit card site, you know, 142% in branch and digital channels saw a lift. So the shift in positive sentiment, I think, was really interesting. And obviously a huge part of our everyday these days needs to be around diversity and inclusion. And they realized being a more purpose-driven brand really resonates with their consumers and their audiences and had a positive impact on driving their business as well.
Oh, that's incredible. So many amazing examples. As far as YouTube, anything that you can kind of share coming down the pipe or anything that you want to kind of tease us with at the moment?
Yeah, I think there is no shortage of amazing things going on at YouTube, I would have to say. I feel very lucky to be part of this brand and part of the team that gets to bring it to life every day. Like obviously connected TV is going to be a huge area of focus for us moving forward. Our creators and fueling the creator economy, which is where we started, continues to be a priority for us and giving them the tools to the community to really do what they do best.
So Karen, I'm gonna do a throwback for you. I just finished reading The Fault in These Stars and he was Finding Alaska, John Green, right? Am I saying that right? But his origin story was Vlogbrothers. If you remember, him and his brother had a YouTube channel where they would just talk about things. And they were YouTube vloggers. And then he went on to be this great author and all these books, and then these books became movies. But it was like he started on YouTube.
Amazing. Yeah. And see, I think there's so many of these stories that exist with whether it be musicians, like the list is a mile long of folks that I think
Lily Singh.
Yes, I love Lily.
Yes, she's amazing.
I'm a huge Lily fan.
Justin Bieber, right? The kid from Ontario who drummed a lot and then sang a bit and someone found him there.
It's amazing. Like Shawn Mendes. I'm a huge Shawn fan as well. I've got to work with him over the years too. There's so many success stories. And I think, you know, we sometimes forget about that. A lot of some of these stories feel like, are they really Canadian? And you're like, these folks started on YouTube. And sometimes we don't celebrate that enough. And I think it's an important one. You know, we've had some conversations internally around that of, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of reminding ourselves of some of these amazing artists and musicians and you know, think of Lily and so forth, all started on the platform. And that to me is priceless. Yeah. And those are the stories we're sharing and continuing to share. And there's going to be more Lilies. There's going to be more Shawns and Biebers.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yes, I have no doubt. We are very talented Canadians. And
one thing that's fun, even last night, the variety. And here's my take too on YouTube, whereas like Lovell, sure, there's all these other subscription services, but the democratization, the fact that it's accessible, the accessibility of YouTube. You can literally download the YouTube app on your phone, shoot, edit, upload a video from your phone. And so like last night we watched a movie, which was like a live action mixed with Sonic the Hedgehog. It was filmed in our hometown, Fort Langley. It was really cool. So my daughter, who's 7, was like, how did they make that? Like, how can they bring animation interacting with real humans? So we went to YouTube, of course, looked up, how do they make it behind the scenes? And they showed it, you know, the little heads and plaster scene or whatever materials.
But again,
you go to YouTube to discover how you make animation mixed with live action movies.
Yeah. I think, you know, even like I've done a lot of DIY. Yeah. YouTube has been my go-to for a lot of fixing things up around the house. And and so many folks that I speak to, even young people today that are, whether it be interviewing or so forth, a lot of their even technical skills they have learned on YouTube. And they said, you know, I hate to admit it, but like I learned how to use Python and things on. I was like, wow, it's incredible. Like just the education that YouTube has provided to so many folks over the years, I think is just astounding. You know, even on that note, Darian, too, just around, you know, shorts, going back to your point of...
Those that don't know, maybe fill people in, because this is those who have yet to download the app on their phone.
Yes, it's just, short form, I think, has always been part of our DNA, it's fair to say, but we're continuing to invest a lot in short, snackable content and making it more accessible and helping creators reach their audiences on mobile, I think in more than 100 countries. And right now, shorts are averaging like 30 billion daily views, which is, again, pretty amazing and still early days of shorts. So I have no doubt that that number, which is no small feat, 30 billion, is going to continue to grow. So that I think is something that, you know, is something for us to keep a close eye on and watch from a platform perspective and shopping, never mind shopping. I'm a huge shopper. I think I've worked in retail for quite a number of years. So shopping's always been a personal favorite of mine. And I think we know that people are coming to YouTube to make decisions on what to buy, what to wear, what to eat, and generally. So you'll see more of that coming down the pipeline too for us, which I think is a really exciting one.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, I love the fact that you can search. And then, there's a link in the bio for, you know, a link to purchase that. My son, 15, got really into car detailing. And so he started watching all these car detailing videos. And again, started getting served ads, of course, about car detailing tips and, you know, but all the great thing is all the folks who did this tips are like, hey, by the way, the product links are in the notes, the show notes. And so we would click on them and order these pieces so we could start car detailing, like the whatever cleaning products and brushes. And so I assume they have an Amazon affiliate thing and made money that way. They made money on their pre-roll. And so those creating videos are not only making money as incredible car detailers, but they're making side revenue from affiliate codes and from pre-roll.
I think I need to hire a son to come detail my car.
He would love that. Yeah, he's got really, he loves it. And again, completely learned from YouTube, which I think is the coolest thing. Like he literally started a business as a 15-year-old thanks to YouTube. So, but as a brand, so those that are looking at the options, right? You kind of get stuck in a rut of, okay, we just buy here and that's where we buy. Those that have yet to venture into smart, you know, you call it connected TV, but like smart connected TV, like you're able to run smart ads. And I'd call it even like pleasurable ads. Because I love the you know, you can hit the skip button. But I think like the A&W is a great example of like, I didn't actually hit the button. I didn't skip it. It was beautiful. Yeah. But let's just say they want to run ads like that. What's your advice? Where can they get started to kind of enter that world and kind of spread the advertising love?
Yeah, I think how to start on connected TV is a great question. And I think it depends on who your partners are. You can either work with your agency partners or you can work directly with us at Google. And I think it's about having an honest conversation first and foremost and identifying like what are your marketing objectives, what are your business objectives first and foremost? What are your marketing objectives? And if you have them, what are your campaign objectives specifically? And trying to identify as you work through that process, like I always say, start with what you want to achieve. If you don't know where you're going, any road's going to take you there. I think from a little bit of a quote from Alice in Wonderland, I always love that one. But I think really understanding what the objectives are and where you want to go, that is going to help you streamline and understand best where it makes sense and which audiences that make the most sense for your brand and where you should appear on connected TV. And I think it's always important, like when you're getting after creative's always been a really tricky one, I would have to say, over the years that I've been involved with creative development, when you're tailoring it to, say, a new platform, whether it be connected TV or any other platform. I think being authentic and true to yourself as a brand is probably one of the biggest pieces of advice that I can always be, because otherwise consumers are going to see through if you're trying to be something that you're not. And, you know, take risks. I think these are the times as marketers where more than ever before, we as marketers can take risks, calculated risks, and do maybe what I like to call like a bit of smash-ups, whether it be unexpected collaborations, testing and learning on new platforms or devices like connected TV. It's okay. It's never been done before. So if you make a mistake, it's not going to be the end of the world and you're going to learn from it. And now, because we have so much robust data to understand, that's going to allow you to make better informed future decisions about your customer and how best to reach them.
It's amazing. And the other option, which again, I don't think YouTube manages this yet, but like when we look at some good news, the funniest thing is Jim Krasinski, I think that was his name, right? Was it Jim? Or he's Jim from The Office, but his real name is something else, I think. But the host of that show, he would have his daughters draw these signs. And so he would say, okay, this episode is brought to you by Pepsi. And they would be this like hilariously drawn sign. He goes, this is the sort of advertising. So it's like you could work with creators directly. Mm-hmm. Like you look at Mr. Beast talking about honey, right? Like the coupon code, right? And so there's that mix as well, working directly with creators. And again, I think YouTube has an ability to connect you to the right creators. And there's the ability to do the actual mid-roll, pre-roll ads.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, and there's going to be more opportunities across all those facets, I think, as we move into the future. And I can never predict what's going to happen, but I have a pretty good sight line. Like creators, to your earlier point, are so important and they've done so much for the YouTube platform. We will continue to invest to make their lives easier, to share the messages that they feel are important to continue sharing.
Well, and if you think about it, it's like the Blippi, even though he moved over to some other platform, we still found him on YouTube. We're not leaving YouTube to go discover this other version of Blippi. And it's kind of like when I used to get these DVDs in the mail and then they became this online thing. They were like, hey, we have this exclusive show, House of Cards. And you'd go be like, oh, you got to check out the show. It's so great. But I feel like YouTube has so much of that. Like no one else is leaving YouTube to go somewhere else at this point. Mm-hmm. I've yet to see it ever happen. You know, Blippi's an example of someone who did, but I'm staying on the original platform.
Yeah. And you know what? I was reading to that point, Arianne, I was reading something the other day about, again, trends in marketing. Yeah. And there's a new, like another resurgence of nostalgia marketing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really interesting because the power of emotions in marketing just could be like joy or freedom or whatever the case may be. But nostalgia is proving to be even more powerful. You think of brands like Coke over the years with their holiday campaigns. Mm-hmm. I think they've been so successful because of the nostalgia that they evoke around that time of year. So I think to your point around like, just you're not going to leave the platform because there's something new. There's a nostalgia of knowing kind of the origin behind it that I think is going to be really interesting over, you know, the next short term. And I guess as we move into midterm, of how that nostalgia plays maybe a stronger role in marketing and campaigns and how brands are thinking about themselves.
And just practically speaking, as a dad and kids and like remote controls, like I don't want to have to go from platform to platform to platform to platform. Like we're already thinking about like, hey, what platforms can we unsubscribe from? Like we stopped subscribing to Crave because we realized we weren't watching. So I'm like YouTube's it for our kids because it covers all of us, right? It covers all the ages. And now you can rent movies right within there. So it's like to have one place, it's got my subscription list and I've kind of really curated my subscriptions really well. I've got my workout playlist. I actually even have like a Christmas playlist in there that I put together.
And you're so right. As I think, you know, myself included, it's like simplify my life. You know, I have so much, we all have so much going on, so many apps, so many places that you want to check out. And I think for us and myself included, it's like less is more. Yeah. I have my key go-tos, YouTube, of course, being one of them. Sounds like it is for you too. So thank you for the support. It's so important, I think, for us just to have everything simplified in a one-stop shop that I can access things for myself, for my family, and then for some of my hobbies and passions that I like to explore too.
Yeah. The only thing I got to figure out next, I was actually thinking of this last night, funny enough, the timing, was I got to figure out a way to like add my kid like channels. Like I got to figure a way to like, or like when they're watching, because my algorithm's all messed up, right? With the suggested videos. So I got to just clean up my algorithm somehow and like do a cleanse. If there's a cleanse option and then restart the algorithm for me, but maybe there's not. So I'm fine with it. Like I get suggested all sorts of wonderful Coco Melon videos. But
Coco Melon. Yeah. I love a good Coco Melon episode.
Those parents, though, they kind of scare me a bit. The parents in Coco Melon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the songs they sing, they're catchy.
Yeah, songs are great. Yeah, they're very catchy. They're very catchy. Yeah. I'm a Soccer Rocker is one of my favorites. Even
there
every time
go.
We go play soccer, I'm a Soccer Rocker stuck in my head. So
classic.
Yeah. Karen, are you ready for the rapid fire here?
Oh, sure. Hopefully. Okay, bring it on.
Let's try. So these are just like 3 to 5 second answers, quick. Yeah, what first thing that comes to your mind?
Here we go. Okay, let's do it.
Nice and easy. What was your first ever job?
My first ever job? Working as a shampoo girl and a hairdresser.
Amazing. Night owl or early bird?
Early bird.
Cat or dog person?
Dog.
What was the first thing that you ever marketed?
Impossible is nothing. Adidas.
Yeah, nice. Dark or milk chocolate?
Dark.
Favorite word right now?
Curious.
What was the last charity you supported financially or with your time and why?
I support Wood Green Community Services. They have a mentorship program that I'm involved with brings new refugees and newcomers to Canada and helps them learn kind of new skills as they get prepared to enter the workforce here in Canada.
Incredible. Incredible. If you send the link, we can put the link in the show notes here.
Sure.
Awesome. What's a movie that you just love? You can watch over and over again.
Gosh, that's a good one. I have quite a few, but I'm going to do a throwback here.
Yep.
Any of the Die Hard movies? I can't believe I'm sharing that with you, but it's just going back to nostalgia marketing that we share. I enjoyed watching that a lot with my family over the years when I was a child, and it brings just a lot of great memories and fun times.
That's awesome. Yippee-ki-yay.
that's right.
Favorite song or album on repeat right now?
Maybe it's just a sense of where I am, like Adele, the latest Adele album, I would say.
Yeah, it's a great one. If you weren't doing this job in another multiverse, what would you be doing with your life?
I'd be running an agriturismo in Italy.
Amazing. And what is that for translation?
So an agriturismo is, it's technically a working farm.
Yep.
Where you have to be producing at least something, whether it be olive oil, pizza sauce or whatever, usually in a beautiful landscape of Italy. And you welcome guests almost like an Airbnb or bed and breakfast type of scenario.
Yeah.
And you just enjoy life in the beautiful countryside with some nice vino and beautiful fresh air and the Italian landscape.
Incredible. Like agritourism, I assume that's
exactly.
Perfect. We got one in Langley called Krausberry Farms. It's amazing. It's also a berry winery connected to it. Go into your phone. What is an app on your phone you can't live without?
I have quite a few. I would say that it would be Airbnb.
Nice. Yeah. Great one.
Well, the first one I should say is YouTube.
Oh, obvious. That's a given, though.
Sure. Yeah. That's a given, though, right?
Yeah. That's a given,
yes,
obviously.
I would say Airbnb, both as a guest and a host. I really enjoy that platform and traveling the world.
Amazing. We got 2 trips coming up this summer, thanks to Airbnb. So
there you go.
Favorite children's book?
I Love You Forever, Robert Munsch.
Nice. Best thing you ever bought for under $10?
It would have been my first pair of soccer cleats ever that I bought at a flea market in Florida they were authentic Adidas cleats, but they were, I think they might have been pre-loved, but in great shape for $5.
Amazing. What's the most important thing you ever changed your mind about?
That's a great question. I would say maybe it's just, when it comes to relationships and having feedback with my partner and listening to a different perspective and a point of view. I think in like 20 years ago, I would have been really sold that no, I was right. But I think now as I grow older in my years of experience, being more open-minded and listening to feedback and taking that on board to hopefully make me a better person is something that I think I've changed my mind on over time.
It's awesome. Is there a business or marketing book that you'd recommend?
I'm going to suggest one that is not technically a marketing book.
Yeah, please.
But I'm sure you've heard a million times before, but Gary Chapman and the 5 love languages.
Oh, yeah.
And I suggest that one because I've read it a million times. I've read the version also for, they have one for children. But I take a lot of those principles and bring them into my everyday life in marketing, because I think that, you know, you talk about the emotional bank account, yeah, being able to, how do you fill a love tank? It's the same principles I think apply to the teams, the people that we work with. Yeah. And there's been a lot on, you know, a lot of discussions in our world around being an empathetic leader,
yeah,
having empathy, emotional IQ. And I think a lot of what is discussed as principles of the five love languages really can really transcend work and personal life. And I always find that one's kind of an interesting one, because if we can have stronger relationships with the people that we work with, I really do believe that's going to make us all better and will ultimately lead to a business perspective, to bigger ideas, yeah, and doing things that have really never been done before.
Amazing. We've never had that book recommended on this show. So that is incredible. It's a first.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. You'll be pleased to know also, I often use that book as a reference in teaching about SEO, in explaining Google Trends and YouTube Trends. I'll often explain that YouTube is, and Google is like, you know, they have love languages. And so if you could learn the love language through Google Trends, because in the same way, it's, you know, whether it's get, you know, acts of service or physical touch, learn Google's love language to know words like how when you make a YouTube video, or,
wow,
you know, best or versus. Those are words right now that Google loves to have whispered in Google's ear and YouTube's ear. And so, yeah, it's a great analogy and explanation of SEO, I find.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I would actually love to watch you do that or share that story with your team.
No, it's fun. Last question here. When you look to hire people and when you're looking for kind of the skills required for this new economy we're in, this kind of new collar work, the fact that the creators never even existed, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago, mm-hmm, what do you think is needed for skills as students are listening to this show?
Yeah, I love this question. I think, I always believe that, you know, curiosity and being a passionate person are, you know, it's the whole idea of innate versus learned behavior. You can't, I think it's hard to teach curiosity, and not saying that you can't, but I think really having an innate curiosity and passion for life and learning is so important when you're approaching and looking for a job, and just being really open-minded. I think sometimes I've met with some younger candidates that are maybe entering the workforce that think that they have lots of experience. They're sometimes well-equipped to manage people right out of the gates. And I think having that humility and sharing that, you know, maybe you are new to the workforce and that's okay. I think being really open and honest about the strengths that you bring to a team and maybe some of the opportunities that you want to work on over the next few years are really important. And I think no one is perfect. Everyone has lots to learn. And I think demonstrating that in an interview setting is really important, and one to be very open and honest with the future hiring manager. I will always hire someone that is open and honest with me from the start, because I know that shows and demonstrates, I think, a lot of their values out of the gate, which gives me a lot of confidence in hiring that person for the short, mid, and longer term.
That's amazing. Karen, where can people find you online, and how can people get started and get connected to the Canadian folks who can help them get advertising on YouTube?
Yes, well, you can, of course, reach me through Google. That's always a good place to start. And LinkedIn, I guess you can reach out there too. And I can always make a connection that way.
Yeah. Remember G Plus? Google Plus?
Yes.
But we can't talk about that, can we? We don't talk about G Plus. You know what though? Okay, random fact. If you go to the gmail.com on a web browser and you say, no, I don't want to download the app. The web version still has like circles when there used to be like circles. You can still do circles, which is kind of cool. I was a fan. They tried really hard. But look at them now. Google My Business is killing it. And,
right.
You know, it's amazing. Karen, a real pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for explaining YouTube and kind of YouTube connected TV in a way that is really accessible and helpful, and some of the stories of advertisers who are just killing it.
Great. It's been amazing to be here. Thank you so much, Darian, for having me. I think this is only the start of more exciting things to happen in the world of connected TV and beyond. And we're lucky enough to be part of it.
No, it's amazing. So one day, I think it'd be neat to have Lily on sometime. It'd be great to talk about her from a creator perspective. And then maybe even an advertiser to talk about a campaign they ran with YouTube and how that worked.
I would love that.
It would be amazing. Because I think the other one, I just want to plug this. I love it. Think with Google is an amazing e-newsletter that comes out. And if you're looking for case studies and stories, inspiration, ideas, Think with Google is a huge inspirational piece. And I'll put a link in the show notes as well for that.
Perfect. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. We have an amazing team that works on the Think with Google. And prior to working with the company, I followed those very closely. I now am lucky enough to contribute to some of them now today. Yes, couldn't agree with you more. It's a great resource.
Yeah. And remember, be sure to like and subscribe to this on our channel. We are on YouTube, the show, so make sure you like and subscribe. Karen, have you ever seen my speed dating video that includes YouTube that I made?
No, but
I'm gonna send it to
you.
Okay, after this interview, I'm gonna send it to you. And those that are listening, please. I'm gonna put it in the show notes as well. We do include YouTube, and YouTube is personified in a very fun way. Because we wanted to, I was tired of all the infographics during our teaching, our classes, of all the social channels. And I was like, let's do it. What if we speed dated all the channels and who would they be? So that's the video I'll send
you. I think I need to be a student in your class. It sounds like a lot of fun.
I'll send you the YouTube link after this.
Yeah, honestly, I would love to see it. Sounds like you do an amazing job leading and teaching your students. I'm sure they love you.
Oh man, we have many great instructors. So I am, but there's many great ones out there. Thank you again. Thank you for everyone who joined us this episode, and we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and the Podfather.